Good morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday. I want to know you to know how glad I am, how happy I am that you're watching with us this morning, this very special morning. You know, if there's one day in the Christian calendar that is the most important, most powerful, most significant of all, it is today. It is Resurrection Sunday. So you're watching on the most important day of the entire Christian year. You know, connected to what happened on Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday seals the deal. The day that Jesus came out of the grave is proof. Proof that he is who he said he is, the Son of God. Proof that he overcame sin and death. Proof that he is the resurrection and the life. Proof that he has the power to save you and give you that eternal life. Proof that the grave could not hold him and it cannot hold you who believe in him. So today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, Easter. You know, this will be the first Easter in my life when I realized that Christians all around the globe are unable to join with many, many fellow believers in person to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know what? Nothing could stop Jesus from coming back to life then, and nothing can stop us from worshiping him with the power of the resurrection in our life. You know, some people are asking, when will we go back to normal? But I want to tell you, Easter was never meant so that things could go back to normal. Easter was and still is intended to make all things new. The celebration of the resurrection of Jesus on this Easter Sunday, in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, can be our opportunity to receive the newness and hope that the resurrection of Jesus offers us as we remember together this special day when two women would rush back from the empty grave with the good news to the rest of the disciples that everything can be different now. The good news, as other fear-filled disciples ran just wide-eyed into the empty tomb and discovered that Jesus was alive, running out with courage in their heart, being changed as two men were walking on that Emmaus road and in despair and ran into what they thought was a stranger and then realized who it was as they found hope again as their heart burned within them. Why? Because they knew what we want you to know, what we want to celebrate today. Jesus is alive, and the power that raised him from the dead is now at work to make all things new and give us hope, to make you new and to give you hope. So let's look to God's word this morning as we discover together how that can happen now that Jesus is alive. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be reading just a couple of verses out of chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Paul writes these things. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have now taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to that word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you would have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised again according to those same scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, he appeared to me also as to one who was abnormally born. Now, Paul starts that powerful passage of scripture by reminding us. He says, I want you to know what is most important, of first importance. In other words, he was saying, you have to get this right. If you don't get this right, nothing else will matter. And what was it of first importance? The good news that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, according to the scriptures, not only that he was buried, but he was raised the third day, and that he appeared. Paul, writing by the inspiration of God, he wants us to know what it means to live our lives in light of that good news. And he was saying, if you don't understand the power and the implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will not live your life. You will not live in the power of the resurrection. You will not live in victory. You will not live in peace. Because what he argues is that apart from the resurrection, our faith is useless. It's just like believing in any other false religion. But it's the resurrection that changes everything. So he wants us to understand its implications, the practical, everyday implications of how this changes the way we live. He says, I want to remind you of this. You know, when I read that, you'd think something as earth-shattering and as powerful as the resurrection, Paul wouldn't have to remind these disciples just some years after Jesus actually did it. But he's not talking about actually forgetting the fact that Jesus rose again. Those believers knew that. What he was talking about was how they forgot how to apply that fact to their everyday life, how to tap into the power of the resurrection and live out of it. You see, he was talking about the reality in our lives that in the press of the stress of everyday life, we can forget who we are and we can forget what we have been given, that we can forget the amazing thing that has been done for us, that God would send his son to come and live a perfect life and die a death that would pay for our sins and seal it with the resurrection as he conquered all sin and death, that he did that for us so that every single thing in our life can be different, that this, he knew, could radically change the way we think about life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is meant to do that. It's meant to change the way you live. It's meant to change what you believe that was the purpose of your life. It's meant to change the way you think about what matters most in your life, the way you think about your relationships with other people, the way you think about money, the way you think about work, the way you think about family, the way you think about God. But he was saying that we can forget who we are and whose we are. We can forget what we've been given. We can forget what has been done for us. We can forget that Jesus conquered death so that we might know life and know how to live in that power, to live in the light of eternity. Listen now, to live your life in the light of eternity, knowing that you now will live forever. To live in that fact so that you can live then an abundant life. This is what is the source of the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us, by being able to live free from the fear of death, to be able to live in the power of the resurrection, knowing God is with you, knowing he is real, knowing he's alive in you, and knowing how then to live in light of eternal life. Because you know who you are, whose you are. You know who is with you, in you, loving on you, providing for you, protecting you, empowering you to live for him, changing you to be more like him, enabling you to love like he loves, all because you know you've received it. It's alive in you, the power of the resurrection, the same power the scripture says that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in you. You know, we live in a culture where death is surrounding us, but we have lived trying to numb ourselves from the reality of that. This coronavirus pandemic has certainly awakened many of us to the reality of our mortality. It has come close to us. And the thing is, though, is when it does, that age-old fear of all human fears can raise its ugly head again. That is the fear of death. You see, the fear of death can cause people to do terrible things. It always has. Most of the things that we identify as sin are symptoms of that larger separation from God, and it has its origins in that human struggle with death. You think about it, the origin of human violence is violence over the competition for resources and power. The origin of the human pursuit of pleasure, which has led many to addictions, has its origin in people thinking they need to numb themselves to the very reality of their mortality, that they will one day die. But these problems are symptoms of a larger spiritual problem, and it's an attempt to deal with death apart from this personal experience of salvation and eternal life brought about by the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see, my beloved, apart from this personal experience, people will live just to grab all that they can get in the here and now, to step on others to get what they want, to lie and steal and even kill. Now, I'm guessing that when you hear that, you're thinking, well, that's not me. I've not killed anybody. That's a good thing. The fact is, though, is if you remember Jesus teaching us about the heart in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that if in your heart you get so angry with others that you say things you shouldn't say, it reveals that you need a change in your heart, the change that Jesus can make. And the power of the resurrection can work to make that change happen because you have been made new and you've been given living hope. You see, the power of the resurrection is the power of living hope, life-changing hope. Think about how the resurrection changed those early disciples. You know, those painful hours between our Lord's arrest and his resurrection were the lowest moments the disciples had ever experienced in their lives. I believe that during those dark days before our Lord's resurrection, the disciples were thinking that they chose wrong to follow the wrong Messiah. They must have felt that they wasted 3 years of their life. They lost hope and they were living in despair. They locked themselves in rooms and were hiding in fear until they discovered that Jesus was alive. You see, nothing short of the Lord's resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit can explain that radical transformation that happened in the disciples. It was the same Peter who just a little earlier had said, "I don't know the man." That same Peter would stand before a Jewish crowd in Jerusalem now in boldness and say to them, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man clearly attested to you by God with powerful deeds and wonders and miraculous signs that God performed among you through him, just as you yourself know, this man who was handed over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you executed by nailing him to a cross at the hands of Gentiles. But God raised him up, having released him from the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held in its power." Peter was absolutely convinced, filled with the Holy Ghost, now in the power of the resurrection, in boldness spoke the words of hope, the words of life. Now completely convinced, all their sorrow was swallowed up in joy. Their fear replaced with joy, their despair replaced with hope when they knew that Jesus was alive. Let me tell you an application in my own life about this. You know, for years, my wife Kim wrote and produced and directed many Easter Passion plays at this time of the year. And each year, a different script was inspired to be written by her and produced there. Many in Old Bedford Village and the stage of the theater that unfortunately is now gone. I remember every year the highlight of each one of those scripts, even though each one was different. The highlight every year was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every year, as I sat there and anticipated that resurrection scene, I just felt inside of me that I'd explode with excitement. You know, I felt tense during the trial and the beating of Jesus, and even angry at the Roman soldiers who were some of my church members as they yelled and hit the one portraying Jesus. And I remember just how sad that the Garden of Gethsemane scene and, of course, the crucifixion scene was to me, and how even literally exhausting those scenes would make me feel. But then the music would change, the lighting would change, the mood would change as all eyes were on the grave, that stone that was rolled over the grave. And as the stone was rolled away and blinding light would pierce the darkness, and Jesus would walk out of the tomb, arms raised in victory, the whole place would explode in thunderous applause and shouts and tears of joy. And I remember how it made me feel. I got a taste of the thrill that those first disciples must have felt when they indeed saw Jesus alive. You see, my beloved, His resurrection changes everything, everything in our lives. We have a living Savior who transcended the laws of death and smashed them forever for us. Now, Paul would end that scripture we read this morning in 1 Corinthians with saying that Christ appeared. He appeared to Peter and then the 12, then the 500, and then to him. And as we draw to a conclusion here this morning, I want you to know that Christ wants to appear to you. He wants to appear in your heart as you put your faith in him. He wants to arise in you and awaken in you a living hope. I want to read one last passage of scripture before we have communion together today. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trial, but these have come that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Now listen to these last words. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I want you to experience that glorious joy today. As we prepare at this time to celebrate communion, I'm going to have Kim join me here at our table. And I want you to prepare your hearts to do the same. If you have some bread or crackers and some juice, I'd like you to get that at this time. And let's begin by preparing our hearts for the receipt of communion today, for it represents to us our belief in the knowledge of what Jesus did. We're about to partake of the elements of the payment for our sins. Jesus told us that we need to do this in remembrance of him, but before we do, we need to examine our hearts and say to the Lord, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. I asked you to come anew into my life and forgive me of all my sins and make me right with you, that you can be right here with me. Lord, let this communion today, on this special day, the day of your resurrection, bring life and peace and health and strength and hope to all who would receive you. We pray in your precious name. Amen. So, my beloved, I would like you to begin with me by remembering what Jesus did for us as we hold the bread. And we remember that on the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was handed over, the night before he was crucified, Jesus gathered with his disciples, with those who believed in him, for that special Passover meal that he was about to fulfill, and how he took the bread and how he blessed it. And then he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. As oft as you eat it," he said, "do it in remembrance of me." And so we partake today and say, Jesus, as we take this bread, let it be a sign of all you did for us and who you are, that you are the bread of life. Receive that bread of life today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now as we prepare the cup, we know that after sharing the bread, Jesus took that cup of wine and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." Jesus, as we drink this cup, let it be a sign for us of all you did for us and all you are to us, that you have paid the price for our forgiveness, that your blood washes us whiter than snow, that indeed you forgive us and come to be with us. Lord Jesus, we receive you and your precious covenant today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to actually just ask Tyler and Summer to come back on and just lead us in some celebratory worship, just to lead us in worship now as we indeed remember and celebrate the goodness of God on this special day.
You know, on this day, it's a day of celebration and a day for us to remember that Christ paid a great price so that we could spend eternity with him. You know, this fall, John and I had the opportunity to go to Israel, and, you know, we saw where Jesus may have been crucified, and we visited the tomb where he was no longer there. But I think the part that was most special to me was where we walked, where Jesus walked, and where he hung out with his friends. And, you know, during a time like this, when it's a holiday season, it does remind me and reminds us about the love of Christ. But what is most important about the resurrection and about his life was that we could call him friend and he could call us friend. And You know, this is a time too where we can reflect on our own life. And have we been living as Christ has called us to? Or perhaps you had a relationship with him at one time in your life and you feel as though you haven't been walking with him as you have in the past. And you know, I just think that when we visited those places where he hung out with his friends, they were the most special to me, because having a relationship with Christ is the most special thing that can happen in your lifetime. It's what can help us get through trials that we're going through now, and it can give us the hope of a better day that's ahead of us and probably just a few weeks away. But I just asked this morning that if you, maybe you've walked away and you haven't really been walking with him, and you've lost that friendship that you had at one time in your life, or maybe today you just want to reconnect with your friend that you feel as though you've lost. I just think that at this time, we'll just pray and we can reconnect with our friend. It's a time where we're in our homes, we're thinking about life, we're thinking about things that are facing us. Some are having financial difficulties. And you know, when you have a friend that walks with you and loves you and cares for you and died for you and rose for you so that you could spend eternity with him, there's no greater love than that, that he would lay down his life for us. And not just to lay down his life for us, but wants to have a relationship with us, which is far more than just reading a story in a book about a man that died and rose again, but how he desires to have a relationship with us. So let's pray today as we just reflect on what he's done, and let's continue to ask him to be our friend and to walk with us and to help us through these times, and a time where we can celebrate the resurrection, how he did overcome. He's overcome everything in our lives, not just death, but the things we walk through now. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day that we can remember, Lord, what you've done for us on the cross and rose again, because you desired, oh God, you came to earth with your one desire to be walking with us day by day, not just during a holiday, but day by day, oh God, especially in this time, Lord, where we live, where things are so rough and we don't know what tomorrow holds, and there's so much uncertainty. We know that because we have you as our friend to walk with us, that we can have hope and we can have joy in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of the diseases, in the midst of worry, that we can still have hope and joy because of who you are and how you love us. Lord, for those that maybe have walked with you at one time and have walked away, or maybe aren't walking with you as they were, I pray, Father, that today they would have a new revelation of your love for them, that you would bring them back to you, that they would desire to be back with you, because we know, Lord, that you would leave the 99 to go after that one that walked away. So Lord, may that person know that you are coming for them today because you desire to walk with them once again. Lord, I thank you, Father, for walking with us day by day in the middle of all trials, in the middle of the things we celebrate. Father, thank you for being such a loving Heavenly Father, that you sent Jesus to us so that we could know your love for us. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for the joy we have knowing that we have resurrection and even death can't separate us from you. So Lord God, I just thank you for this day. I ask that you bless all of those that are listening, that all the prayer requests that people have, oh God, you would hear their heart. We know you hear our cries. We know you collect even our tears in a bottle, Father, because that's how much you love us. That's how much you care about us. We thank you that we have our hope in you for better days ahead. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. May we never forget, and may we walk with you throughout our life and into eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.